RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
I do want to flip to the positive side before we get out of here tonight and talk about what do you feel best about going into 2026. But we're still talking about current front office coaching staff. Injuries, I guess, can be thrown in there as well. How do you feel about where they're at? And did injuries play as much of a role in this season as some people are making it out to be? 800-636-1067. Toby Altizer with you on Overtime till 10 o'clock. Let's get out to Kevin in Arlington. Kevin, what's going on?
Hey, Toby. Happy New Year, buddy.
Happy New Year, man.
So I want to dig into one thing. Now, let's remember this. Those six picks in the top 100 of 2024. Let's just go through them real fast. Daniels. Newton, okay, underachieving, in my opinion, despite last Sunday. Sanders still regressed. You've got Sinnott, never arrived. You've got McCaffrey, who solid kick returner, but again, third round pick. Brandon Coleman regressed. Okay, he's starting to play better again. But so that's what you got for six picks in the top 100. And one thing I don't think it's talked about, I remember when Adam Peters first got here, and I'm like, why is Martin Mayhew still around? Well, of course. I mean, he had been with Adam previously, and he's a Redskins Super Bowl champion. But after a year, he was gone. Lance Newmark comes in. I'm like, great. What I didn't know until recently, I brought this up. I'm going to bring it home till the cows come home. Our college scouts, Tim Gribble and his six area scouts, none of them were hired by Adam Peters or Lance Newmark. They've been here from the Allen and Rivera regime. And we're surprised we didn't get more out of the first six picks we had under Peters out of 100. I mean, what is it that those guys did that's so good that allowed them to be retained? I know, you know, when Adam comes in January of 2024, I mean, those scouts have been working all year. I get it. Just like Martin Mayhew. Okay, I understand. They can, you know, stay until the draft of 2024. But they stayed on. And not only did they influence the draft this last cycle, but they're going to influence the third draft this April. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe I'm barking up the wrong tree, but nobody's talking about it. And I'm just like, if we're going to be a draft and development team, shouldn't we be spending money on getting the best damn scouts possible?
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think about that?
No, I appreciate the phone call, Kevin. It's a good point because, as we know, Ron and crew was fantastic at drafting. So it is an interesting thing. I can't delve into that. Because ultimately the buck stops with the guy making the decisions. But if you're not being given the best information, then how can you make the best decisions? And who's making the decision on the scouting staff? Is it AP that just said, yeah, let's just keep rolling with this? Does he think that they do good work? Do they do good work? And Ron was bad at deciphering what they were saying and makes up his mind and makes bad decisions? I don't know. So... But it's a valid criticism because it is confusing. It is, I feel like, commonplace for a new general manager to take over and he'll keep the previous scouting department in place for that first draft because you need to obviously have worked and you've been doing stuff yourself with whatever team you were with, but you want to be able to at least have the full reports and work with the team and at least have everything in place and not try to turn stuff over in the most hectic time of the year. I get that. But to continue going with them in year two and beyond, it is different. And it does make you question a little bit some of the decisions. Now, the interesting part for me is missing on the six picks in the top 100, I don't think is talked about enough, because to me, that is more of an issue than the Lattimore trade. That's something where you've got the capital, and you don't get that kind of capital very often. You've got a hit. And the tough part for me is, Jaden's obviously a home run. I don't think there's questions about that. If someone wants to question that, then I think they're being a little bit ridiculous. Jaden's a home run. Johnny Newton, we'll see if he can develop. He looked good as a pass rusher against Dallas. I don't know that he did anything else, but to come away with three sacks is still impressive. So I'm not going to take that away from him, and it's the brightest flash we've seen in his young career. So hopefully he can build off of that the rest of this season, one more game, and then going into next year. So still, I don't feel great about that pick. I don't think you can call him a bust, but just yet. But he's not lived up to the potential. I mean, when you draft a guy that's supposedly a first-round talent early in the second round, he's supposed to help you. Sanders still has been up and down. I'm still a big fan of Sanders still, and I think he can be a really good player for this team. The other part of that, like I laid out, you traded down out of the Cooper DeJean pick, and you could have just taken Cooper DeJean. Who knows? Maybe this team isn't able to develop, and DeJean would have sucked here. I don't know. But I can tell you this, Cooper DeJean is a whole heck of a lot better through essentially two seasons than what Mikey Sanders still has been, even though the flashes for Sanders still were really good at the end of last year. It's really, if you split what he's done into four quarters of his career, he was mediocre to bad in the first quarter, he was good to great in the second quarter, and he's been mediocre to bad in the third and fourth quarters. So he's had one good quarter of his career so far. So I still believe in him, but I wouldn't say that that's a home run. That might be a single at this point. You look at Ben Sinnott. I think he can fill the Bates role quite well when he's expected to block, when Bates has missed time. I think he can get out and block, and he does that quite well. Can I spend that high of draft capital on a guy that is essentially a fullback and doesn't catch the football? No. So I'm kind of out on that, although I do think that he can catch the football and play a little bit. I don't know why they don't throw it to him, but that's maybe my own little thing. Maybe that's just me. So he's kind of been a bust from what I've seen. Then you go to the third round. I think Brandon Coleman can play. This is what's interesting to me about this, and I think an angle that doesn't get discussed a lot. Part of the issue I have with this offseason is even in situations where they've made a move that might be the right move, I think trading for Laremy Tunsil was their best move outside of drafting Jaden Daniels that they've made since they've been here. I truly think that. So I have no issue with Tunsil. I think drafting Josh Connerly with what was available, I wanted Mike Green, edge rusher out of Marshall, who's with the Ravens. Mike Green hasn't been all that effective for the Ravens. I thought they might take Donovan Ezeraku out of Boston College, who's gone to the Cowboys. We talked with a Cowboys writer before, or a Cowboys host down in Dallas before the game on Christmas Day. He said he's come along and playing better in the second half of the year. Okay. But I don't think where they were, what was available, value-wise, I don't think Josh Connerly was the wrong pick. So if those both can be true, I still don't love the fact that you took a guy that I was actually happy with at left tackle last year in Brandon Coleman. If they would have gone into this year with Brandon Coleman at left tackle, you wouldn't have heard boo from me. I would have felt fine with it. Was he a plus at tackle? Maybe not. Was he a minus at tackle? I don't think so either. I think he was an average left tackle, and getting that in the third round is good value. But the issue that I have is that you bring in Tunsil and you bring in Connerly, and while those moves individually are good, you took your third round tackle, you took your third round left tackle from last year that played well and relegated him to the bench. And yes, a swing tackle is important. That is something that is really valuable to a football team. But he's not on the football field. I'd like to think that you could find a role for him, and maybe they misevaluated that he could play left guard. And if that's the case, does that change what you do at 29 and you don't take Connerly? I don't think that changes what you do with Laremy Tunsil. But do you maybe take a playmaker there? Do you take a receiver? So that's the stuff to me that factors in. Johnny Newton, similar sort of thing where you got rid of John Allen, but then you brought in Javon Kinlaw. And maybe they just truly don't think that Johnny Newton is all that and they were wrong. And if that's the case, then okay, the draft evaluation was bad. But if you thought he could play, and then you blocked him again by bringing in another defensive tackle who plays ahead of him, and now he can't get on the field for more than 35% of snaps, then what the heck are you doing? We talk about this all the time in baseball, and blocking a prospect that's coming up. The example now would be Harry Ford, who was acquired by the Nationals this offseason. So you've got a top catching prospect. If you brought in Cal Raleigh, that to me is the equivalent of the Laremy Tunsil thing. No problem. We'll figure it out. We'll find a spot. No issue there. But if you go out and sign Joe Blow catcher, take your pick, and that's blocking your prospect from coming up and playing, then what the heck are you doing? So that to me is some of the other underlying things where the individual move might not be a problem, but you're messing with other things and stuff that you're doing. And I think that's some of the shortcoming of what's happened with this front office and not nailing at least half of those top 100 picks that you had, six of them, is a major issue in why this team is where it's at. If you hit on four or five of those, we're talking about this team in a whole different light because we've seen that with another team, and they're not necessarily winning. But look at the Cleveland Browns and all the rookies that are playing key roles on this team this year. They're not winning, so if you want to throw that back in my face, that's fair. But Carson Schwechinger, the linebacker, is playing a big role. Quinshon Judkins. They've got so many draft picks all around the field, and if they can hit on their draft this year, they can turn that whole thing around pretty quickly. And so when you want to, people are going to immediately still bring up the Ron thing. You've had two off seasons. You had six top 100 picks, and you didn't hit on your picks. So that's part of the tough spot where they're in. You've got to hit on your picks when you have them. And that's part of why I also don't feel that trading down by any means necessary in this year's draft is necessarily the right move either. You get better players when you pick up higher, generally. It's not guaranteed. There's no guarantee in the NFL draft. But there's a reason why some guys get drafted higher than other guys. That's not rocket science. 800-636-1067. We will switch to the positive side here in just a couple of minutes, but still taking your phone calls. You want to hop in, 800-636-1067. It's Overtime, 106.7 The Fan.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. Toby Altizer with you until 10 o'clock talking about the Commanders. Anthony's in D.C. Anthony, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, Toby, man? Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it, sir.
Happy New Year's, man.
Nah, you too. I just want everybody to relax when it comes to the team. Because people just forgetting that we are still in technically a rebuild. Last year was an anomaly. We went 12-5. We lost, won like six games on the last seconds with the Hail Mary, and the ball was just bouncing our way. The football gods was with us last year. And, of course, the fans wasn't used to that. But you have to be a realist if you're going to be a football fan. Not like the Cowboys and say every year they're going to the Super Bowl. But for 1 year, everybody really thought that just because we were in the NFC East played for the NFC Championship game last year, it's going 12-5. I thought this year we would go 10-7, maybe 9-8. I thought we would have a better roster, but be a worse football team. And I'll tell you why. And the reason why is when you have injuries, you have to be a team that draft well, have good backups that can sustain success. Like teams like the 49ers, teams like the Ravens, and certain teams just always have players that can sustain that level of success. And still, it's like you never miss a beat. And this year, I've seen that when players start going down, the next man up mentality don't work when the next man up is not as skillful as your number one guy. Not saying that scheme and system is not important too, because sometimes you could just plug any guy in and play. But you have to still be able to have athletes and players on the field that can make things happen. Everybody believed in Dan Quinn and Adam Peters last year. I still believe in them. Injuries is a big part of the game. It's a major part of the game. You have to withstand them. We're going to lose like four games less than I thought that we was going to be this year. And everybody just need to relax and don't forget that this is their second year. And everything's going to be fine, man. I believe in the defensive line. I think if we didn't have so many injuries, that we would have had a better record. That's how come I'm not panicked. Injuries is a part of the game. Things happen, and I'm looking forward to next year, man. People got to just stop being ignorant to the game.
Appreciate the phone call, man. Yeah, I appreciate the positivity. And I think the way that I'm talking about this team, people immediately assume that I just think, oh, they're screwed. And I don't feel that way. We're going to flip this to the positive side here in just a couple of minutes. I don't think that, because you've got the most important position figured out. So I'm not doom and gloom like, oh, no, we're stuck in the rut again and this team is going to be horrible for another couple of decades and you're just RG3 2.0. Like, no, I'm not doing any of that. But I do think that pretending as if this is just a little blip is a little bit naive. It's one thing if they did what he said, and he said better roster, worse team. One of those things certainly happened. Worst team certainly happened. I don't think this is a better roster. And that's my big issue, is if they did what I thought they would do and then they lost football games because things didn't bounce their way, instead of winning every game on the last play, they lost games on the last play, they finished the year with 8 wins, and I'll live with that. I'll understand that. The way that I've seen this team play for a majority of the season, especially during the middle, it's not NFL football. Like, I'm not going to do the bit because I think it's a dumb bit when people are like, oh, they would lose to Alabama. No. No, they would not. But might be a game. I'm joking. I don't think so. But I also look at the guys that are missing time. And Marcus Mariota has played as well as just about any backup in the league. And so Jaden Daniels missing time has been massive. I don't disagree with that. And I've posed the question before. Are we underrating Jaden Daniels because he took this team to the NFC Championship game last year and you basically have a majority of the same roster and look at what the heck happened this year when he didn't play at that same level and was injured. So, yeah, I understand some of that. But Mariota's played at an incredible level. He's played really, really well. I think he's played starting caliber NFL football somewhere in that 20 to 25 range among NFL starters, at times a little bit higher than that. So I can't say that Jaden missing time is a big reason why they're losing, especially the Jaden that we saw for a majority of this season, where he's still a good quarterback, above average. He wasn't playing like the top five guy, which I know some people immediately go, oh, no, I'm not worried that he's not going to get back there. But he didn't play at that same level this year. But Mariota played at a high level. Look at some of the other guys, though, that are filling in. Like, okay, Dorrance Armstrong was probably the biggest loss on the defensive line. And I'll give you that. There was no replacement. But Dietrich Wise going down definitely hurt their run defense, definitely hurt some of their production there. But Jacob Martin has stepped in and had 5.5 sacks. Von Miller's gotten on the field more. He has 8 sacks. I'm not saying these guys are great. Von Miller, obviously, on the tail end of his career, in his prime, he was fantastic, but still on the tail end now. But I don't think that the downgrade from the guys on the D-line, from the starters to the backups, was as big as some people make it out to be. They were starters or backups, really, in name only. They were, if you were going Madden ratings-wise on these, you're going from a 78 to a 74. Like, it's not like you're going from a 99 Miles Garrett to some jag that you've never heard of. That's my thing with this, is the guys that are missing, like, if this were a Niners situation where you lost Nick Bosa or you lost Fred Warner and the guy behind him couldn't fill in, of course he couldn't. Of course he couldn't fill in for an all-pro. They're not filling in for all-pros. And some of the units that have really struggled this year, think about the secondary. Will Harris went down, and everyone's telling me that he's the major reason why they can't get things going. Maybe that's true. Will Harris is getting paid $4 million. They couldn't have someone fill in that could do something. Also, Revo has been there. So that's part of the thing, too, with the discussion about not having a quality backup. Revo's filled in and played plenty of safety throughout his career. The secondary's been garbage. I know Lattimore was hurt and has gotten hurt, but when he was healthy, it's not like it made a huge difference. Amos has been hurt, but when Amos was healthy, it's not like it made a huge difference when you had the full complement. So that to me is where, yeah, injuries played a role. I'm not denying that. But to pretend like on a pie chart, why did the Commanders only win 4 games in 2025? It sounds like a lot of people want to say over 50% is injuries. And I'm telling you, no. It's somewhere in that 25% range or lower. I think scheme, I think players not playing well, I think personnel, those sorts of things make up a majority of it. And injuries played a factor, but it's not over half the chart like many people make it out to be. Because even a fully healthy team, and this is what I would ask you, and this is where we could disagree, and maybe this kind of explains how we feel about the team. No injuries. You're playing Madden, you turn the injuries off. And you played this season out? What do you think they finished their record with? I still think they're winning maybe 3 or 4 more games. Because the issues are not just with the inability and talent. It's with the communication, the schemes. I just don't think a blown coverage has anything to do with a guy missing and is hurt. That's a communication issue. And whether it's Will Harris, Jeremy Reeves, Mikey Sanders still, Quan Martin, take your pick, blowing a coverage. It's a blown coverage. And those sorts of things aren't acceptable. And that's what's happened over and over this season. 800-636-1067. All right, we've done the negative side. Let's bring a little positivity back into our life. What do you feel best about going into 2026? Now, I might start this with a little negativity, but what do you feel best about going into 2026? We'll talk about it next. You're on The Fan.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
I know Vic behind the scenes loves relishing in the negativity, so I think he's enjoyed the last hour and a half or so.
Now I got to set the record straight. No, I'm not having any of that. I'm just a realist.
Pessimist is what we call it. But I think he's going to not like the next portion of the show where we try to find some positivity, try to find something good. So that way we're not going into 2026 depressed. Let me put it this way. We will go into 2026 with some depression, but let's feel a little bit better for, I don't know, a half hour on New Year's Eve, New Year's Festivus, whatever you want to call it. Let's feel a little bit better. But so 800-636-1067, you want to hop in. What do you feel best about going into next season? Now, I'm going to start this real quick with a negative side. I didn't have much I could put down here. I didn't have a lot that I could put on this list. I have two definitively, and I have question marks next to a third, because if you go through position groups or individual players, go on the defensive side of the ball and find me one thing you feel good about going into next year. Find me one. I say Trey Amos, but I felt good about Mikey Sanders still going into year two as well. So I don't feel great there. Secondary as a whole, I don't feel good about. Linebackers, I don't feel good about. Defensive ends, I do not feel good about. Defensive tackles, I don't feel good about them either. Coaching, I don't feel good about that. So defensively, got nothing for you. Offensive side of the ball, I think there's two things in particular. We'll start with the quarterback. I think Jaden Daniels is still that guy. And in case people forgot, I do want to jog their memory a bit. There were things that I saw out of Jaden last year that I don't think just disappeared and are gone and are things that he can't get back to next year and going beyond. I think we're going to look back at this year when his career is finished, or even in 5 years, and we're going to look back and say, wow, that second year was crazy, but he's back to being Jaden. I think we'll look back and say, wow, that second year was the anomaly, not the start of a trend. And there's five traits in particular that I want to point out that I think Jaden had last year and still has and will have going forward, and it's why I believe in Jaden. So number one, I think he's got tremendous poise.
Third down and seven. This one is launched from McLaurin. He's got it. Touchdown. Touchdown, Terry McLaurin. They needed seven. They got 27, and here's the end of it. Right foot, knee down, and the catch. That will count.
So we're going to play some highlights alongside these so you can remember some of these plays and some of what I'm illustrating. We remember that play. It was his coming out party against the Bengals, Monday Night Football. We remember that. they had to be perfect that game because Bengals didn't punt, if you remember. There were no punts in that game. They scored almost every time they touched the football. So they had to be perfect on offense, and they were.
Isn't that the same game where, I believe, post-game they said it was a college offense? I can't remember who said that.
He said that pre-game, yeah. Cam Taylor-Britt said he runs a nice college offense. Yeah. And that college offense worked just fine against Cincinnati. So he's got tremendous poise. And by the way, that didn't disappear. Were there times this season when you watched him play that he didn't exhibit the same poise? Sure. But I don't think that just disappeared. I don't think that's suddenly gone, and he's not going to have it. Last year, when we had any guest on through the season, after the season, going into this year, if you asked players, whoever it was, analysts, coaches, and you said if you had one word to describe Jaden Daniels, they'd use that word every time, poise. He's got it. And not every quarterback does. He showed me last year he's got it. I believe that's going to be fully on display in 2026. Now, the big part about this is health. We understand that. If he's able to stay healthy, that's the big thing. And I'm not as worried about that as other people. But if he can stay healthy and he has these five attributes, which I don't think have gone anywhere, then he'll be right back to Jaden Daniels again next season. The next thing that he's got, now it's funny because Nick Akridge disagreed a little bit with this, said he had some issues, and I can understand where he's coming from, but I've also seen him be incredibly great in this area. I think he's got tremendous accuracy.
Second down, they blitz again. Daniels, though, has some time. Lets it rip, floating it deep down the field, going for Brown. He's got it! A perfect throw to De'Ami Brown! Wow!
Dan Reno told me, you can't guard a perfect throw. How does he see that ball?
That ball was so good. De'Ami had his hands, or had his eyes blocked by Kirby Joseph's hands, and he couldn't drop it. Even if he wanted to. Jaden threw such a perfect ball, it caught itself. That ball was my favorite play of last year because he was fading away a little bit, wasn't able to fully step into it, rips it down the field against Detroit, puts it in a perfect spot. You could have taken a lot of throws for that, but he's incredibly accurate. And I think the thing that they haven't tapped into yet, really, much of his career, much at all in the 2 years that he's been here, is that downfield accuracy. That was something that was talked about ad nauseum coming out of LSU. His ability to throw the ball down the field accurately. Think about slot fades, deep balls to Brian Thomas, slot fades to Malik Nabers, and him being able to drop it in the bucket to those guys. I don't think they've been able to access that fully. I don't know if that's a Cliff thing. I don't know if that's just the offense, receivers. I don't know. But you saw some of that in the playoffs last year. Because even the Terry throw against Cincinnati, which we just played a couple minutes ago, that was only a 27-yard touchdown. It's not like that was a 70-yarder. I think he's got still more in the bag with his accuracy down the field. Now, Nick Akridge brought this up earlier. He does fade away a little bit, which frustrates me. But I think overall, he's been incredibly good with his ball placement. Part of that is being able to take care of the football. I think he's been good there. The third aspect, because five of these aspects I feel great about, five of these traits. Three of them are physical. We'll hit on those. There's two mental ones I want to hit on in the next segment. But the third one, and there's not many guys that have this level of his playmaking ability, is spectacular.
Empty backfield once again. Daniels looking, moving to his left. Under pressure. Stays on his feet. And now he throws to the end zone and is caught for a touchdown by McLaurin.
If you remember that touchdown against the Saints, now, the rest of that game was forgettable. Matter of fact, that's the one time, just peeling back the curtain, Vic had called me. Vic behind the glass today, running the board. Vic had called me at the end of that game. And he's like, I turned it off. I couldn't watch it. So I gave him live play-by-play over the phone of the two-point play that was unsuccessful to give Washington the win. That game was tough.
I've never actually ended a game watching an NFL game, just turning off the game and calling a buddy and giving me a play-by-play breakdown of it, what happened at the end.
That's what happened in that one. And so the rest of that game was forgettable. But if you remember early on, Jaden was cooking. And that play in particular, drops back, rolls out left, nothing's there, takes a step back, almost fumbled it, put the ball on the turf to keep from slipping, and then throws a dart to Terry in the end zone. His playmaking is spectacular. So when you look at his physical ability, the three things that stand out to me, poise, accuracy, playmaking, he's got those. If you want to talk about some others, arm strength, don't forget that he had a, we don't know for sure, he said fractured rib or broken rib when kind of jokingly on like a Madden commercial thing or whatever. I don't know for sure if it's broken. Regardless, he had the rib injury and still threw the Hail Mary 65 yards in the air. He's got arm strength. He's got incredible speed. He's got those abilities. But the things that sold me on Jaden and why I just can't quit him, even with a down year, and why there's going to be discussions plenty about that draft class. And, you know, if Drake May wins MVP, people are going to, did they draft the right quarterback? But I'm not going to do any of that. And it's because of the next two. I've seen the physical abilities. There's no question. But we'll get into that next. There's two traits about Jaden that give me utmost confidence going forward that he's the guy. And we're talking about things you feel best about in 2026. There's really not a lot to point to. But the one thing that gives me hope, the one thing that gives me a great feeling about going forward in 2026 and beyond about this team, he wears number 5. His name's Jaden Daniels. We'll talk more about him and take your phone calls next here on The Fan. What do you feel best about going into 2026 for the Washington Commanders? 800-636-1067. It's overtime with Toby Altizer on The Fan, taking you up until 10 o'clock. Number one for me, and you can put it in bold, italicize it, underline it, circle it, whatever you need to highlight it. The number one thing is Jaden Daniels. And I know some people, and the reason I'm doing this, some people have seemingly lost a little bit of that luster with Jaden and don't feel as good. And what I saw last season from him, these five traits gone in a couple of months. And I think that it's still in there. And the big thing is staying healthy. But if he can stay healthy, and I'm not as worried about that as other people, I've said that before, and we'll see who's correct on that. Hopefully it's something that this year is the anomaly in terms of his play and his health. But the two that stick out to me, the two traits of the five that I've laid out that stick out to me that really sold me on Jaden. So if you look back at his rookie season and look back at what he did last year, his coming out party was week 3. We'd seen him grow in that second half, week 2 against the Giants. We'd seen him be able to start turning into that NFL quarterback where he's able to go through his reads, throw the ball down the field, basically process a lot better. So we saw that in week 2. And then week 3 was kind of the culmination where he was spectacular. 21 of 23, 254, 2 touchdowns, 39 rushing yards and a touchdown. And then it kind of took off after that. They blew out the Cardinals the following week, and they're starting to roll on some teams before the injury. And then they dropped a couple. The thing that sold me on him, though, the thing that took it from, oh, we've got a good quarterback, to, oh, we might have a top 5 quarterback, we might have a guy here in town that is one of those, was the second Eagles game. And watching that second Eagles game showed me that he's resilient.
Second and goal, 10 seconds. Daniels fires, end zone, touchdown! Jamison Crowder, preposterous! 5 turnovers and the lead with seconds remaining.
When we talked, Greg, about how Jaden Daniels probably should get even more credit than he's getting, considering the cast that he's got. How about this today? He's got 5 touchdowns.
5 touchdowns on that game. Go along 5 turnovers. I understand the Jalen Hurts angle where he got injured in that game. He had nothing to do with what was going on against Jaden, though. If you remember in that game, the reason I bring this up in terms of his resiliency, ability to bounce back, they got the ball back in a situation where it looked like, oh, okay, here's a chance to go win the ball game. And what did he do? He threw a pick. He threw two in that game. He threw one that looked like it was going to cost them the game. Devontae Smith, thankfully, had butterfingers on a big play that gave Washington the ball back with a chance to go win it. And he bounced back from that previous drive throwing an interception to take you right down the field, get you into scoring range, and then threw my second favorite pass of the year, the post route over the middle against cover two, over the linebacker, in between the safeties to Jamison Crowder in the back of the end zone to win that game. Five turnovers in that game, and they're able to find a way to win. Jaden throwing five touchdown passes showed his resiliency. There's not every quarterback can do it. There's a lot more now, it feels like, that have this ability to bounce back and overcome a bad day and turn things around. But that's the type of stuff that you see the top quarterbacks in the league do. They're having a garbage day, or they make a critical mistake at a bad time, and if they're given the opportunity to overcome it, they do it. They do it. And so to me, seeing that resilience, the physical stuff we saw all throughout the year, but seeing that resilience, seeing that ability to bounce back from that mistake, that was the game in particular that took me over the top. That was the game that gave me the confidence that I'm not wavering on this guy until I see too much evidence in the other direction. And this year is not enough to do that. That's why I'm not shaking on Jaden. That's why I'm not moving. That's why I'm not changing my opinion. None of that. Jaden is still special. That second Eagles game where he showed me that they had no run game, they had nothing else. It was the first time that I'd watched a football game and I legitimately got mad every time Cliff Kingsbury would call a run play. Stop taking the ball out of Five's hands. That's how I felt. It was the first time I'd felt that in a long, long time, maybe ever. Every time they take it out of the quarterback's hands, I'm like, what the heck are you doing? Jaden should make every decision and every play. And he went and won that game. That showed me a resilience. That showed me an ability to carry a football team. The last thing, and these two are the most important to me because they show me that he can be better than just an above-average quarterback. He can be someone that you can build your entire franchise around and have confidence that one day he's hoisting a Lombardi. He's clutch, man. He's clutch.
Third and goal from the two. It is Jaden Daniels. End zone. It is caught for the touchdown. Zach Ertz takes Washington into the playoffs.
Another one of those games that they won on the last play of the game. And Jaden, on that drive, once again, it was all him. You remember that drive? It almost looked like a high school football game where the quarterback just said, screw it. I'll do it myself. And he was doing all the running, obviously the passing. He was the entire offense. And so for anyone that wants to look at Jaden and say, well, this next hour I want to talk about Drake May because there's a very real chance that he's going to win MVP. And I'm already pre-mad about this. There's going to be discussions on this radio station. There's going to be discussions around the country. There's going to be discussions in articles, in magazines, in newspapers. I already know what's going to happen. Did Washington make the wrong decision with Jaden and they should have gone with Drake May? I'm not doing that. And this is coming from a guy that wanted Drake May in the draft. I'm not doing that discussion. Because what I saw from Jaden last year was something that even good quarterbacks, the guy that I keep coming back to is Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold has turned his career around to the point that he plays like a top 10 quarterback. But when the moments are big, he's come up short a majority of the time. He might be coming out of that. We'll see. And I'm curious to see how he does this playoffs. But look at last year with Minnesota in big moments and how often he shrunk. Jaden Daniels did not shrink in any of the big moments last year. Go back to the NFC Championship game. They got smoked. How much of that was on Jaden? Not much. Not much. He didn't shrink. A lot of the guys around him did, but he did not. So not only do you have a guy that has abilities that maybe only a handful of quarterbacks in the NFL have, He has the ability to finish games and win games where others shrivel. And there aren't a lot of those guys in the NFL. So if you want to say, oh, I'll take someone else, go ahead. Go ahead. I'm taking my claim with five until I'm proven otherwise. And this year, even though it wasn't as good, I'm not going to deny that his decision-making, his accuracy, some of the things that I've even pointed out weren't as good. You are correct. I'll take five, and I'll roll with it. That's the thing that I feel best about in 2026. And the reason I did this, I think some of y'all need a reminder. Because going into next year, I'm not going to be satisfied with five wins. I'm not going to be satisfied with six wins. You've got a guy. So do the right things and build around him, because I've got all the confidence that five can lead you there. But put everything around him necessary to make it possible. And if you do, I'll take my chances with Jaden over just about anybody in the league. And I still feel that way. And I don't think it's crazy to feel that way. Even if Drake May wins MVP, I do not think it's crazy to feel like Jaden can still be the best quarterback in that draft and still be the guy that leads this team to their fourth Super Bowl. 800-636-1067. We'll wrap things up in the final hour next.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.